From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good morning and welcome to our Gospel program. A new month begins and spring hastens on. Today we will continue with our study of John's Gospel. We are looking at verse 14 of the chapter 1. What a verse this is. In a moment we will listen to the daybreak singers singing for us, I shall know him. But just before that, let me invite you to join with me again this evening at 9 o'clock. We will be taking another look at the life and ministry of Elijah, and also featuring a sermon I preached recently on the subject of assisted suicide. That grim subject was in the news recently, and many are calling for a legalizing of suicide in certain cases. But what says the Bible? That is the topic of our sermon that we will be featuring and giving away free copies of to any listener who requests one. But back to this morning, here's the Daybreak Singers with the lovely hymn, I Shall Know Him. Turning to the Gospel of John, and just one verse will feature in our study today. It's the verse 14 of chapter 1. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The topic for consideration today is the incarnation of Christ. This verse deals with one of the central doctrines of Christianity. It deals with the Son of God taking into union with his divine nature, sinless human nature. This he did in order to save sinners. First of all, this verse deals with the miraculous birth of Christ. The Lord Jesus was born of Mary, though he was conceived in her womb in a supernatural manner. The Savior was not born of a union between Mary and Joseph, or of any other man. As the Westminster Confession of Faith, which is one of the subordinate standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, says in chapter 8 and paragraph 2, "The Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, being very or truly and eternal God, of one substance and equal with the Father, did, when the fullness of time was come, take upon him man's nature, with all the essential properties and common infirmities thereof, yet without sin, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary of her substance." So that the two whole, perfect, and distinct natures, the Godhead and the manhood, were inseparably joined together in one person, without conversion, composition, or confusion. Which person is very God and very man, yet one Christ, the only mediator between God and man. Now that is a very full and precise statement of the incarnation of Christ, and of course we must be very precise when dealing with such sacred topics. The Saviour truly became man, yet did not cease to be God. But now he has two natures joined together in one person. He is perfect man and perfect God. The divinity of Christ was never at any time laid aside, though it was veiled in sinless human flesh. Hear what Paul wrote concerning this glorious truth in Philippians chapter 2, the verses 5 to 11. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Even at this moment, the Lord Jesus is sitting at the Father's right hand, interceding for sinners. And he is there, as man, as well as God. That is how he knows and understands and sympathizes with our needs. As Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 15 states, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Secondly, Christ became man in order to undertake the obligations of his people under the law of God. Galatians chapter 4, the verses 4 to 5 reads, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He was born a subject to the same obligations of keeping the law of God under which all of us are born. He then proceeded to keep the law on behalf of his people. And having done so, he then offered himself on the cross as an atonement for the debts to the justice of God the sins of his people had incurred. This is what Isaiah was referring to in chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Listen to the words of the hymn 100 in our hymn book. O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head! Our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. A victim led, thy blood was shed. Now there's no load for me. It was to this that Christ referred just before he died when he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. John 19, verse 30. What was finished was the work of atonement for our sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 and 14. Thirdly, what greater evidence of the mercy of God toward sinners could be given than this? The Son of God truly did come seeking sinners. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew 20, verse 28. To all ages and nations, he has sent the news of his coming with the invitation to seek him and rest in him for salvation. He commanded his disciples, as he commissioned them for the work of evangelizing the world, Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The closing verses of Matthew chapter 28. May I not say that the Saviour's presence accompanies the word of the gospel even as I preach it now? As you listen in your home, in your car, wherever you are, Christ is there to hear and answer your cry for mercy and salvation. The Son of God came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Word was made flesh that he might save sinners. May you call upon him right now. God bless you. Will you join me tonight at 9 o'clock? Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.